It's time for Dictionary of Sydney, and Mina's here. How are you?
Good. How are you, Alex?
Fantastic. We were just chatting off air about Christmas, and unlike me, you're a little bit of a Grinch.
I'm afraid I am. Yes.
I've just outed you to everyone. Sorry about that. But you're going to put that aside for a second.
I am.
Very kind of you to bring us some exciting Christmassy Dictionary of Sydney.
Yes. A kind of history of, well, I don't want to say bad Santas of Sydney, but kind of renegade or the wild ones of Sydney. Not the creepy guys in Westfield with the nylon beard.
Yeah.
That you have to sit on the knee of.
Oh, they always have You've been there, Alex. They're sweaty hands. God bless those people, but sweaty hands.
Not those, but definitely sort of characters that are probably a bit unexpected and the people with the least that end up giving the most at this time of year. So, and sort of a theme amongst them, I think that some of them had probably the worst childhoods imaginable, and that sort of really set out in their lives to make other children have a better one, or at least a better Christmas.
Wow.
So my first unlikely candidate is Kate Lee, who actually started life in Dubbo, but then came to the attention of police as a teenager and ended up in the Industrial School for Girls in Parramatta. So
pretty grim
start to life. And then went on to become the notorious Sydney Razor Gang Queen of the Hills, or around Surrey Hills. So, or affectionately, she was known as Mum.
Oh, but for the wrong reasons.
So she sort of very entrepreneurial lady, started her empire running a string of sly grog shops. And this is a big sort of boost to her fortunes at the time because the state government had imposed the 6 o'clock swill. So the original lockout.
Oh, the original lockout. So we've got lockout 2.0.
That's exactly right. So she made a lot of profit off that with her side hustle of the booze, and then diversified her income streams with a little cocaine hustle during the 1920s.
Yes, the other kind of snow.
That's yeah, a white Christmas.
A white Christmas. That's not advised. Just do as not sport.
Not encouraging this. But she actually prided herself on not actually drinking or taking drugs, but was known every year for her very generous spread, where she hosted sort of up to 300 kids at her house in Surrey Hills.
Jeez.
Well, it was reported as about 300 in the papers in 1946. And then in the following year, Dictionary of Sydney's found sort of in 1947, it was up to 500 people, kids.
God.
So it's quite a party. And she said, look, the kiddies of Surrey Hills have very little, but I will not see them unhappy at Christmas. So while she herself was not sort of Santa, she did cast her second husband, the sly grog dealer Teddy Barry, dressed as Santa Claus. So there's some photos you can see of him sort of standing on the balcony on the terrace in Surrey Hills dressed in his Santa Claus suit with all the kids running around on the street below.
Oh, that's so cute. It does. I have my reservations because he's still a bad Santa, but it's so cute. And like 500 kids.
It's huge.
That's a lot of people to host.
And so you'll probably see some photos later on the blog, but she's sort of in full swing handing out party hats for kids and out there sort of making sure they're having a good time.
Oh, that very bad Santa, but a very good Santa.
That's right. Well, and so then my second candidate is Randall the Animal Nelson, so a.k.a. the Santa Claus of King's Cross. And he was a bikie. And chain-smoking, bearded, tattooed, tearing up and down the cross on his motorcycle, delivering the bikies' toy ride each Christmas for needy children. So, again, similarly, Animal had grown up in a whole lot of state institutions. He'd done a stint in national service, also been in jail.
Oh.
But in 1989, he co-founded the King's Cross Bikers Social and Welfare Club. And he coordinated the annual Christmas gift run from here. And he said, we look after the elderly, we visit the jails, we counsel the sick and the addicted, and we make sure no one gives their family up. Yeah, so he really set out to sort of make sure the forgotten ones of Sydney were looked after. And he spent every day, apparently, in his sixth-floor public housing unit in Waterloo and sorting, wrapping, packing presents for all the Sydney's sort of sick and underprivileged until his death in 2014. So there's again these sort of photos as you go into his apartment of just sort of rammed with wrapping paper and packages and things stacked ceiling high, ready to go out. So another sort of alternate Santa here.
Alternate Santa. Oh, bless. It's really amazing, isn't it? Because Christmas can be such a hard time for so many people because it's like the joyful season. I'm using air quotes right now. And, you know, anyone who's had a bit of a rough run, it can get forgotten.
Exactly,
so,
yeah. So much pressure on everyone at the time of year as well. And he also thieved a few clothes from Wayside Op Shop just to make sure people out on the street had some things to wear, some glad rags.
Always looking out. Hood.
That's right. But my final one is probably a bit of a favourite for me is Sid Arthur Cunningham. So he was actually self-titled the Black Santa, a Koori guy who used to stand on King Street with a bucket and sit on his chair and ask for money for kids, and particularly Aboriginal kids out in the bush. So he was actually descended through his mother from the Yuin people of the South Coast, but grew up around Redfern and La Perouse, and for more than 30 years persuaded Sydney citizens to donate toys for Aboriginal kids out in the regional west. And his Santa sleigh was actually a chopper.
A chopper? That's awesome.
So he'd actually take a helicopter out with a pilot out to the west, and he described the kids' eyes shining like diamonds when they saw the helicopter landing out in reserves in the country town of places like Wellington, when he was sort of descending from the sky with these toys. And his sort of outfit was red overalls, a red pyjama top, and a pair of gum boots.
Oh, bless. That is the most adorable makeshift Santa costume. And especially the fact he was coming from the sky. I hope they put like a little red nose on the front or something like
that.
That'd
be brilliant.
That's adorable.
So, yeah, I think they said by about 1999, which is when he died, he'd provided or he'd got toys to about 6,000 children from Wellington to Dubbo to Peak Hill to Galandra to Bourke. So, incredible sort of reach he had by the end of his Santa run.
Yeah, that's a lot of K's. I mean, that's where my family's farm is up near Dubbo. So like I know how long it is to drive to those places. I mean, I don't have a chopper, but that is a wide distance. That's a wide spread.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. And he really brought this sort of ethos into his own life. So he looked after kids who needed a home as well with his wife. He worked for the Western Districts Foundation for Aboriginal Affairs. And as a registered charity, that meant they could look after other Aboriginal families, including paying for funerals and providing just sort of daily things like furniture and advice and clothing. And just if you had any other doubts that he was not a great guy, he also served in the Second World War in Papua New Guinea.
Oh, my God.
And he was made sort of Anzac of the Year in 82 and then awarded the Australia Order of Australia Medal. So he's a pretty incredible character, and you can actually, outside the IGA on King Street, there's a little plaque for him still there today.
Really?
So, yeah, leaving a mark of where he used to stand and raise all that money for the kids out west. So, yeah.
My heart. It's so adorable. I mean, I think that we should cancel American Christmas and start celebrating him. Like, that's what an incredible person.
Yeah.
Like, dedicating your life literally to anyone else but yourself. Like, that is just next level.
Yeah, no, it's pretty inspiring characters. And I just wanted to end with, I can see the tradition and the new sort of mantle has been passed on to the new alternate Santa, which is Oliver Livy Maloof in Erskineville, who is the Santa Claus in a drag queen style, applying glitter lashes to the big red costume and offering photographs down at the Imperial Hotel in Erskineville. So the time-honoured tradition of the alternate Santa continues in Sydney this year.
I'm just laughing. My face is so wide with excitement, and I'm currently planning how I'm going to get down there as soon as possible. That's awesome. Oh, my God. So do they go by Santa? Like, is their drag name Santa?
I think it's Oliver Livy Maloof, so far as I've read, but listeners might know more. But actually, you can, with the photo, it then donates money to the Bobby Goldsmith Foundation. So another excellent sort of philanthropic cause coming out of one of these Santas of Sydney.
The true meaning of Christmas.
Exactly.
It's like Christmas Carol without all the depressing stuff and just the good bit at the end. Minna, thank you so much for coming in for our last Dictionary of Sydney.
Pleasure,
for 2019.
Alex. Yeah, the last one.
Yeah.
Oh, have a fabulous Christmas yourself.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You as well. I'll see you in the new decade, hopefully.
Excellent.
Okay.